Dr. George Dimitri, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
Over the past 5 years, 51% of all FDA-approved cancer drugs have had substantial input from Dana-Farber scientists and clinical investigators. And that comes from the culture here, the very basic curiosity-driven scientists that are probing really how cancer works.
At Dana-Farber, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Hey there, I'm Shannon Ray Green, and this is Five Things. It's Sunday, January 16th, 2022. These Sunday episodes are different from what you're hearing all the other days on this podcast. We're focusing on just one topic instead of five to do a deeper dive. I spoke recently about how I have multiple sclerosis. And while it's stable, I know that when I'm in a flare-up, I'm looking to my doctors and the people in my life who love me to help me get through. And so when I heard that Reviewed.com, which is a sister news organization to USA Today, has launched a new category on their site for accessibility, I was really excited. So I've asked the accessibility editor at Reviewed.com, Sarah Kovac, onto the show today to chat with me about why people like me and many others who care about people who need adaptable products have a goldmine of a resource in this new coverage. Sarah, thanks so much for joining me.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Sarah, you shared with me earlier that you've been working at Reviewed as our resident smart home writer since 2018. And I just have to say, I can't believe our paths haven't crossed sooner, because I really enjoy talking about how tech can be adapted for accessibility purposes. And smart home products have been so helpful to folks in the disability community. So tell me about how Reviewed.com started working in this area and how you personally have started covering this beat as an editor.
Well, I think from what I understand that they had been talking about covering accessibility products for years, probably before, you know, I even came on as the smart home writer. And I personally have a disability, a physical disability called AMC. And all my life I've been finding ways to do things and finding ways to make the world more accessible to me. So smart home was a really cool beat for me because, as you said, that technology does so much for people with disabilities. And I do things with my feet. If I'm typing with my feet and my back starts to hurt or whatever, we've got all this different technology that I can use to type with my voice or, you know, navigate my computer with my head. Or when I had heard sort of whispers about them possibly doing more accessibility coverage in my smart home beat, I started trying to do more articles that were accessibility related. That was my way of sort of live the life that you want or whatever. So, and then, you know, when they started talking about it more seriously, I was like, hey, I'm over here. I would be happy to be involved in whatever, however you could use me. And they needed somebody to start it up. So my managing editor and I, her name is Megan Cavanaugh. This was our baby up till now, and we're going to be expanding our staff. So we're going to have to share our baby, but it's been really fun getting it up and going and finding freelancers and working with the other categories, you know, because everything accessibility is going to cross over to another category. So there's a lot of teamwork involved in it.
That's lovely. I feel like I don't know how to talk about my own experience with disability because the nature of multiple sclerosis, at least the kind that I have, is relapsing remitting. So that means that I could have a flare up and have an issue. And then if I'm lucky, it remits, which means I can get some of those abilities back. And so there's a time, like earlier this year, I was having trouble being able to like really move at all for about a week. And so I wasn't able to type. I wasn't, you know, because I would have these really intense and painful muscle contractions like upon movement. And so the nice thing is that it wasn't, luckily, like at least for me, it wasn't a permanent change. But it was the kind of thing that I was just like, well, what would I do if I can't type? And so I started exploring on my computer that I can really type with my voice. And I have always used speech to text on my cell phone. I think that even before I needed to think about typing adaptation, I would think about different things that could happen to me with an attack with MS. And I used to, like, I guess, just kind of geek out in preparing for what may or may not happen to me, which is a little bit silly. But I would just kind of...
No, I think that's a really smart thing to geek out about.
Yeah, yeah. And, it, you know, it's just kind of interesting to learn about these options because they do exist. to just think to myself, you know, if I'm having problems with my peripheral vision, or if I'm having trouble with a spot that's missing on my vision, because I knew people who had MS that I'm friends with who had that issue. And they used accessibility tools on their smartphones to be able to make it so that they can use their phone even if they couldn't see a certain section or they had low vision. So it's just really cool to learn about all this stuff that is in existence. And I know that I'm going to be talking to you in our virtual newsroom about this stuff, Sarah.
Well, I sure look forward to that. Yeah, I mean, 15% of the population has a disability. And as I had said to you before, not having a disability is a temporary state of being at best, because we're all going to have a point in our life when we need help. You know, we might need a walker someday. We might need crutches when we break a foot. Accessibility tools benefit everybody. And sometimes the tools that we end up using for accessibility weren't really even meant for that. You know, we just kind of repurpose things to work in our favor. When I had my little ones, there were always specific baby products that worked better for me. Like there was a baby carrier that was easy for me to get on so I could carry my babies better. And, you know, it wasn't intended to be an accessibility product, but there's not a place I can go that tells me all the great products out there that might be available until now. So we're kind of creating the resource that I wish I'd had up to this point.
You are being the change you wish to see in the world. That's amazing. And I think that another thing you and I talked about was that it's such an underserved community. So I was thrilled to drop this link to my virtual MS support group, because they also have this sort of similar personality to mine in that, you know, okay, of course I don't want to deal with the fact that I'm going to need a little extra help. But if I have these options, it makes me feel less worried about it, less stressed. And that's why I was just thrilled to share it. And the comments when I dropped it in our Facebook group were just like, this is so cool, Shannon. And and now I can't wait to drop this episode to this group too. And I, you know, I'm going to give them a little plug. It's the group is a virtual MS support group. It's called Speak MS. So hit me up on Twitter if you're interested. I'm at Shannon Ray Green. I think it's really cool that it meets virtually, because, you know, we need that kind of support when we're isolated this way with the pandemic. So earlier this year, I had our tech editors. They have a tech podcast. It's Brett Molina and Mike Snyder. They were on the show when CES was happening. That's the Consumer Electronics Show that happens in January every year. And I really loved seeing your story about the accessibility products at CES, you know, because I had already geeked out with Mike and Brett about others, you know, but there's two on the list that your team rounded up that I was pretty wowed by, especially for just people I know in my life who have had conversations with about some of the things that are just, you know, problematic for them and how these products might be able to help them. There was two that I thought were very cool. It's the Dignity Lifts. I guess it's WL1 Toilet Lift / Washlet and the Tover Magic Table. So if you can tell me what you learned about them when your team was working on this.
Well, when I saw the Dignity Lift, I had never seen anything like that. And it was like, whoa, because it's a seat that's warmed. And then it lowers you down onto the toilet and it can fit over any toilet. And then it's got like a bidet built in and a dryer, like an air dryer built in. So, and then it put, you know, stands you back up on your feet. And I think it's got like a 300-pound weight capacity that it can handle. So, you know, you basically just back up to it and then everything happens automatically. They have several different models. And, you know, the one we saw at CES was like the top of the line, most exciting, most expensive one. But they have some more basic models that would probably be more accessible financially for a lot of people. But I just thought it was really cool. It was a problem that I hadn't even thought about solving. I don't have lower body mobility issues. So, you know, when you're not the person, it's hard to think about what they might need. But that's part of the reason why we're doing what we're doing. We're bringing in writers that know what people with disabilities need, because they are the people with disabilities. And I think there's so much on the internet of people who've never been in my shoes telling me what would work for me. And I appreciate the sentiment. And I think people are beautiful and generous, but I need somebody to talk to me about what I need who actually has been where I am and struggled with what I've struggled with. So it was really exciting to see the Dignity Lifts that are clearly, this is an issue that clearly they are very close to the people that actually need it. You know, they're obviously serving a community and being very close to them. If not, I don't know anything about the founders or the people running it, but I would bet you money that somebody in their life has had trouble getting on the toilet and off, and that's why this was created. I bet you $1 million because that's the kind of product this is.
Yeah, I remember being at an event for people who have MS, and I actually talked to someone about a product that helps, you know, women be able to stand up and urinate. And, you know, it's just things that you talk about because these are things that we are all experiencing sometimes, and we want to kind of share ideas and come up with solutions. And so thankfully, like, I think that bringing this community together to talk about these things is just really impactful and in a very supportive and intimate and vulnerable, but also safe. I'm throwing all the adjectives at this kind of way. And the Tover Magic Table, I loved that because it talked about gaming and how, you know, this is a product for kids and how you can purposefully play to really engage kids that have a specific type of disability. So tell me about the table.
Well, it's for, you know, folks with intellectual disabilities and of all ages, and also really where I picture it is in a nursing home for the people with Alzheimer's and things. You know, there's specific games just to engage their brains and to help them stay sharp. Because it seems like, from what I've been able to see, there are group games. And so it's this light shining down on a table, and you can interact with the lights on the table. You know, you can reach out and push a light and it'll move. I don't know if anybody else's McDonald's are like this, but we actually have a McDonald's that has the same technology in the play area. So the kids will go and you tap on the lights and move them around. But it's really great to see that technology used for such an important, you know, it's just such a big deal to keep people engaged and keep people thinking and to help them feel sharp. And I love to see that they're using the technology that way.
It's so lovely. Yeah, so I did want to share a legal disclaimer that, you know, when you go to, we're going to drop a few links to your stories in our episode description, and review.com staff make recommendations and they're independently chosen. But if you do click through on any of the links to make a purchase, those links may earn review.com a commission. So talk to me about how Reviewed has a scientist on staff. Like, I actually have toured your newsroom in Boston years ago, pre-pandemic, and there's just such rigorous testing standards that you follow, like on site in Boston, but also that you have reporters and freelancers that are testing these products in real life. They want to have the most up-to-date information, have the experience of using it, because the whole point is to help consumers make purchases that they're reading reviews that they feel they can trust in order to have what they need to know. So how are you all testing the products that are going to be featured in the accessibility section?
Yeah, it's a little different. Like, we have our, you know, appliances and things like that we test in our labs, which, as you saw, were pretty intense. There's all kinds of testing apparatus everywhere, and that in the home video or home audio stuff is also really intense with the technology of the testing.
I think my favorite was the video and photo, like the cameras with all the different, like, they have this model that they always take pictures and video of that is like hard to for a camera to certain cameras maybe to follow. So it's just like a very specific scientific way of comparing them to each other with like the same exact standards because it's science, you know? It totally fascinated me, clearly.
Yeah, and this it's very sciencey. You know, when I was doing smart home, and now with this category of accessibility, to me it's a little more fuzzy because you can test smart home things or accessibility products, but these things are going to live in your home and you're going to interact with them. Until you've lived with them, you don't really realize how well they're going to work for you. Like, a perfect example was smart light bulbs. I have a million of them, and I don't like them because we have big storms here in the Midwest, and if the power goes out in the middle of the night and comes back on, all of our lights turn on at full blast. So, you know, when you've got a baby in their bedroom trying to sleep, it's just this moment of sheer panic, you know, running around trying to turn the lights off. But you wouldn't know that unless you lived with it for a while. So I always would plug smart switches instead of bulbs, but that's beside the point. I think with accessibility,
That is the point that you have that experience to be able to give people the good information, the good review, the solid, trustworthy review.
And you don't get that in a lab. You know, so I think there needs to be, there's a lot of science that we do, but in smart home and especially accessibility, there's more of a, I need to try it. I need to live with it and tell you what my experience was because, you know, seeing if it's the best toaster oven in a lab, yes, you can do that. But if I'm blind and I need to be able to feel the buttons in a certain way, that's not something you can test in a lab. So a lot of what we do in accessibility is just, I have a disability, here's a product. I'm going to try it out for a while, or I've used this product for a while and I know that it's really good and I want to write about it. It's really more personal. And what I love about editing the stories that I get in is I'm getting people's stories. You know, it's not just like, hey, I have this thing and we tested it and it's awesome. There's almost always an intro of, well, I was injured in this, you know, way and I've been living like this and this frustrated me about it and I was so excited to find this product. It's so cool to be able to even hear those stories and I feel so honored that our writers share that with us. And it's so important, you know, that we would get this out and people would understand what we're going through on a daily basis because I think you know, unless we tell them, how are they going to know?
Sarah, that sounds so gratifying and meaningful. That's wonderful.
It is.
So I'm going to ask you the question. Anything I haven't asked you that I should?
We're looking for more writers. So if there's, you know, if there are any disabled journalists or, you know, folks who are aging, we have seniors writing for us who can talk about what works for them. I'm always open to new writers of all kinds of all abilities. And so they, you know, would be welcome to find me on Twitter at Sarah Kovac or email me at skovac@reviewed.com. I would love to at least, you know, meet you and hear your story and talk about how you could contribute.
Yes, and we will drop your Twitter account into the show description, and yeah, and shout out to caregivers. Like I want to talk to all kinds of people about accessibility, so I think that I know that I'm shouting out my Twitter handle all the time, but it's at Shannon Ray Green. I would love to talk to people on this topic. I find it so interesting. So, Sarah, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, my pleasure. It was so lovely talking to you. I can see why you do what you do. You're easy to talk to.
Hey, thanks. If you liked this episode of Five Things, please write us a review on Apple Podcast. You can also tweet us at USA Today. And I really mean it when I say I want to hear from you about accessibility. Let's talk. You know where to find me on Twitter. I'd love to discuss the cool products that we just learned about from Sarah. I want to say thanks to Alexis Davies for editing this episode. Taylor Wilson will be back tomorrow morning with five things you need to know for Monday. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Shannon Ray Green. I'll see you next time.
Dr. George Dimitri, medical oncologist, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
Over the past 5 years, 51% of all FDA-approved cancer drugs have had substantial input from Dana-Farber scientists and clinical investigators. And that comes from the culture here, the very basic curiosity-driven scientists that are probing really how cancer works, and then the expert clinicians that interact with patients and families every day. It's not easy to have input at a substantive level to new drugs that are safe and effective at treating cancer. So our whole mantra has always been to try to minimize risks to patients and yet try to maximize the opportunity of finding how effective a new treatment could be. And that means understanding cancer really, really deeply.
At Dana-Farber, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.